All right, nice to have extra bags. Lead us in there. Andy Baggerly joins us. Of course, he covers the Giants for the San Jose Mercury News and the Bay Area News Group. Extra bags, how are you today, Andy?
Hey, Marty, I'm good. How are you?
Well, pretty good. It's you know, people have to understand, I think, what you go through, and I don't mean go through, but what your job entails on a day like yesterday, getting to the ballpark a certain time and doing your work, watching the game, and then getting home. What kind of hours did you put in yesterday?
Well, you know, it's the one sport that's not on the clock, right? I mean, it's... I think the longest days at the ballpark are usually the road games when we go to the East Coast, and you might have some rain delays, and maybe you have a doubleheader that's a makeup. Home games are usually pretty good. I mean, even when they're long extra inning games, we have a great view from down there, great facilities. Usually you're smart enough to bring a scarf or an extra layer because you know what the weather's like. Sometimes visiting writers aren't in the know about that kind of stuff. So, you know, we get a great experience covering Giants games at home. There's really very little to complain about, to be honest.
Well, you get out there about 2 o'clock, and what time did you get home last night?
I got home around 1:30, I think.
All right.
Pretty sure. So, yeah, not too bad.
Very good. All right. There is energy in the park today. As I walked in today, you know, I like to walk in with the rutabaga and the strawberries and all the hot dog rolls. And not only that, but I walked in with the panda this morning. And Andy,
yeah, I'm guessing he wasn't delivering rutabaga or strawberry.
No, he wasn't. He was delivering himself, and he had his bats with him. And for what it's worth, I think he looked great and very happy, very excited to be here. And I think there's going to be a certain energy. Of course, you'll have a press conference with him, I'm sure, this morning. Then he's off to Sacramento. But he brings an energy back to the ballpark that really brings you back to 2014.
Well, and, you know, I think it might be hard for some fans and maybe for some players to kind of get past the way he left. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be as big a deal as it's been made out to be. You know, I think if he comes back and he hits, then, you know, that's really all that matters. You know, I think it's really easy to tolerate or forgive or whatever word you want to use when someone is going out there and producing and you know that he loves to play. He's got that joy for playing, and that's why it doesn't surprise me that he wants to, not just, you know, cash his checks, his $50 million owed to him and go home. He wants to compete. He's always a guy who's loved to compete, no matter what kind of shape he was in or when you questioned his professionalism from time to time in what he did in his off hours. So, but, you know, let's make no mistake here. Jeff Francoeur was a Giant for a while. Dan Uglow was a Giant for a couple days. I mean, this doesn't mean that they're going to clear third base for him. What it means is, and I don't think Pablo would come back if, like, for instance, Matt Duffy had never been traded and he's locking down third base for years. I think Pablo sees an opportunity to maybe get some big league playing time with a team that really is a total open proposition at third base, assuming that they do trade Eduardo Nunez. And the Giants are in a position where they're decimated, not only in the big league roster, but Christian Arroyo is out for a couple months. You know, Ryder Jones has been nicked up and wasn't ready when they took a look at him. I'm not sure if they really think that Jaejun Hwang is going to be somebody who can handle major league pitching on an everyday basis. So they don't want third base to be an utter black hole for the last 2 months of the season. And if this is something that all it does is restore a little goodwill between him and the team, then maybe it'll be worth it. But we'll see. But we have to keep in mind that, you know, they're not bringing him back to be their long-term answer at third base, that's for sure.
Yeah, I've got an open mind on it, and I thought he was in very good shape. And we've seen him before after the Camp Pablo, remember that, down in Arizona. He was real good. He kind of looked like that again to me. So we'll see, and I'm with you. I have an open mind on it, and we'll see what you got to produce on the field. But, Andy, last night, what a game last night. And, you know, you've been around a while, and for Gillespie to hit the home run in the bottom of the ninth, I thought it was huge for him. He's had a tough season, but it was a big hit for him last night.
Well, and pretty amazing when you consider it was his first home run since the one he hit in New York in the wild card game that won the wild card game for the Giants and Bumgarner. And you think, gosh, look at their fortunes, how quickly they've fallen from that to where they are now. The only team in franchise history that's lost more games through 98 games was the 1902 team. So, they're historically bad right now. And you know, as that inning was unfolding, and Posey drew the walk, I thought to myself, they're going to find a way to get the tying run on base, because they seem to do that in so many of these losses. You know, they'll have a little percolating rally, and then it'll be false hope. And then, you know, Crawford got the hit, and Posey was almost unsure whether he was going to go home, and he realized, oh, the Padres don't care, so I'm just going to walk home here. And then Gillespie steps up, and I thought, you know, if there's one guy who could park one off the bench, here's the guy. And sure enough, boom, there it goes. And even when they not only get the tying run to the plate, you know, when they're trailed by three with two outs, bases empty in the ninth, not only do they tie the game to force extra innings, it still ends up being false hope, and they still find a way to lose the game. And that just tells you, I mean, it's unfathomable just how, when Brian Sabian said they've just sort of forgotten how to win, you really just, that hit home. That hit, it really hits home.
Last night was quite a scene again with the Seagulls last night. And, you know, hearing it being described, and as I said, I went home early. You know, I was the pitcher who went back to the hotel to get a good night's sleep and ended up being up all night watching the game. But the Seagulls were out there last night, and Span, it sounded like he was jumping away from them.
Well, you know, he said, Marty, when he signed, that he's not a big fan of birds. He's a little bird phobic. And, you know, that's not the best place to put a guy who's bird phobic. You know, like Indiana Jones when he steps into the cave full of snakes. But so he had to jump a couple times, and I think they even started the clap clap cheer just so the fans, whoever was left, could clap a little bit, maybe scare some of those birds away to try to save Denard Span from having a freak out moment out there. I think that Denard Span would be a big fan of having these games end in the regulation 9 innings at home from now on.
I agree. Andy Bagley with us. Andy, all right, so the Panda news is big news. I think you're going to enjoy seeing him today, and I'll be anxious to read what your thoughts are on Twitter and, of course, your column. But this is trade time, and, you know, age appropriate, time appropriate in a baseball season. I imagine there's some people on edge in the Giants clubhouse, whether they will go or not go. And I'm going to put Samardzija in there, and obviously Nunez in there, maybe a couple of the relievers too. There have been a lot of scouts here looking at the Giants.
Yeah, I agree. I think the guys who are going to be easiest to go are the guys that aren't owed money. And that's with Eduardo Nunez, where you basically be looking at a couple million for the remainder of this season. You look at a George Contos, who's getting a little bit more in arbitration, and you think maybe the Giants would look to see what they could get for him, because otherwise they might have to decision whether to tender him after the season. I thought that, you know, Corey Guerin is a guy who's a matchup righty that may interest some teams that could be light from the right side. You know, the guys like that are easy to move. Now, Hunter Strickland, I think, is an interesting guy, because, in a sense, what happens with Hunter Strickland is going to be kind of a referendum on where he stands. Because there's no reason, last night's ugliness aside, there's no reason to trade a guy who had a, you know, 1.85 ERA and had allowed one home run all year, and really has been the most consistent guy in your bullpen, even though his whip is not so lovely to look at. There's no reason to trade him unless, you know, you do it for the health and sanity of that clubhouse, if there really is a lot of lingering animosity over the whole Bryce Harper thing. So whether he stays or goes, I think, is going to be an interesting litmus test either way. With Samardzija, I think there are teams that like him. I think there are teams that could plug him in as either a swingman or you know, a back-end starter. But he's owed a lot of money, and I think that the Giants would be mm-hmm. have to get some stability out of this rotation and some innings out of this rotation. And Samardzija is probably the easiest guy, even though he's given up a lot of homers. He's probably the easiest guy you can forecast durability and innings from. So, I don't think the Giants are going to be looking to move him unless a team wants to, you know, take most, if not all, of the contract and give him somebody some halfway decent back in return.
Boy, all right, Andy Bagley with us. Andy on his way to the ballpark. He's going to have a very interesting morning here. Health-wise, Melanson, Michael Morse, any updates on either one of those? They seem to be off the radar a little bit.
Well, Melanson threw off a mound the other day and about 20 pitches. I don't think he's really letting it go or anything. So no real timetable on when he could be back. I think we're still looking at weeks, not days. In the meantime, Sam Dyson will continue in the closer role. Sunny Sam Dyson, as I like to call him. And then you've got Morse, who's back home in Florida. He's with his family. He's still having some concussion symptoms. And, you know, if these symptoms subside, then he's going to have to decide whether he wants to go back to the minor leagues and you know, get his timing back and go through that whole process again that he's already gone through once when, you know, the hamstring blew out in the spring. And Bruce Bochy sure made it sound like it was going to be really hard to envision Michael Morse doing that one more time. And so, you know, unfortunately, we may have seen the last of him as an active major league player. It's a shame it had to end that way. But, you know, hopefully we get to see him when we go to Miami here in next month when the Giants go play the Marlins. At least he pops in and says hi to people. And maybe he'd be back in September in some form or fashion as a way to bow out, even if they activate him and he makes a JT Snow little cameo turn or something. Because I tell you, I mean, fans care so much about Michael Morse, and not just here. You know, there were so many Nationals fans who reacted when I tweeted out that news yesterday about him being home in Miami, you know, and really saying, gosh, it's a shame that he's going in there as a peacemaker and ends up in the situation that he's in. So a lot of good feeling for Michael Morse in a lot of places that he's played.
Oh, great. Andy, thanks for taking the time to be on today. And absolutely check out Extra Bags with 2 G's on Twitter. I'm sure you're going to have are you looking forward to it? You must be looking forward to this morning. I think it's going to be very interesting.
You know what? I mean, the season we're having, Marty, any day that you go to the ballpark and you know there's going to be something interesting that fans are going to care about, that you have a chance to, you know, tell a story or you know people are going to be paying attention, hey, that's a good day. So I'll take it.
All right, very good. Andy, thanks so much. We'll see you shortly. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Marty.
All right, that's Andy Bagley. Always good to have him on. That's